Welcome to the Pilgrim's Odyssey, your guide to life's wild ride. I'm your host, Silwan Green. Every day we share incredible stories and valuable lessons on life and faith. Thanks for tuning in and make sure to share this odyssey with your friends and neighbors so all of us together can let our light shine. You are listening to the Pilgrim's Odyssey. I'm your host, Silwan. Welcome. On a fine day to be sitting on your porch chewing some bubble gum. I guess the alternative is watching the news and the world burn. As we have been talking about this week, a fire is coming. Are you ready? All week, we are discussing what's happening, why it's happening, what do you need to do about it. Go back and listen to Monday and Tuesday's episodes if you haven't yet. Monday, we talked about how we all have to serve somebody that we've got a hole to fill. And it might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but we got to serve somebody. And it seems that right now, a lot of people are serving fear and anger and the fire. Yesterday, on Tuesday, we talked about the long-term impact of this. Things are not going to return to normal quickly. As we move past these riots over race and anger, we are going to move on to riots over the collapsing economy. I love all these discussions I follow about, you know, wear a mask or don't wear a mask. Was the shutdown appropriate or not? You know, people would have died. And I see very few intelligent conversations on the long-term impact of 20% plus of people being unemployed. Even though we're opening up, people are so scared they're staying at home. They're not buying things. Car lots filled with cars. Empty stores. Places shutting down. That's not just going to end. Also, this ignorance of what it means to start a business. If you have been struggling, if you've been self-employed, and all of a sudden you don't have your normal income for 6 months, your credit, your savings, the things that allow you to continue are gone. Things are going to get worse. And as people lose the funding that is allowing them to stay home comfortably, auto workers, instead of getting paid or getting laid off, and instead of getting a unemployment check that's triple because the government added all this money, that program ends and now it's $300 a week instead of $1,000. You're going to see a lot of angry people. You're going to see a lot of people who are hungry, legitimately hungry. None of those rioters out there today are hungry, okay? But you're going to see hungry people 6 months from now. And if you think the riots now are bad, they're going to get worse. So today, what we're talking about, what you can do to prepare. Now, this is not going to be a three-hour show on how and what you need to do to prepare. I want to point you in that direction. It's kind of what I like to do with the Pilgrim's Odyssey. We're all on a different odyssey. We all have different interests. We all have things that I might mention on the show that you have a deeper interest in. Well, go follow that. I just want to make sure that we're all going in the right direction, that we're all asking the right questions, that we're all having the correct conversations, that type of thing. You know, one reason we need to prepare is I think it's easy to get complacent in our day and age. I mean, even looking at this, even though it's been shut down with all the government programs, the way our modern world is, you know, it's been kind of easy to stay at home and get complacent. We're still feeding ourselves. We're still moving along. But, you know, as things open up, we go back to church, we go back to work in some fashion, it's going to get even easier to be complacent, to just see this as, oh, it's past, and I can kind of go back to the way things were normal. Don't let yourself get off guard. You need to be more vigilant. I just saw a picture today of Saks Fifth Avenue, luxury store, the epitome of luxury in New York City. Today, covered in razor wire, boards over the windows, and guards in the front with the biggest, scariest-looking dogs you've ever seen that the news article called them specially trained dogs. And they look like they're specially trained to rip people's arms off, surrounding the store. As we get through the last 4, 5, 6, 7 days of riots, law enforcement is reporting how coordinated they are around the country how sophisticated the command and control is by the people that are the most responsible for the violence, how they are pre-staging weapons and gear. That's logistics. That's like a military operation. You think they're just standing down in a week? You think they don't see this as an opportunity? You don't think they're going to prey on people's fears as people lose their jobs, as people burn through their life savings, as businesses go out of business, as the government gets hungry for money and they go after people? No, we could go deep on all of that. But today, this week, I want to get you in the right direction. What do you need to be thinking about? How do you need to be preparing? Now, some of this, obviously, there's a lot of resources for, but I just want to make sure you're thinking about it and doing something, even if you know what to do. So I just got a little list of things I'm going to go down. Number one, food, okay? Now, I'm not saying plan for the apocalypse, although it could be happening. What I'm saying is all you got to do is turn on your TV to see that things like not being able to get to the store for a few days could happen in your community, okay? All you got to do is watch the TV. Those people throwing Molotov cocktails, all they got to do is go to your local power station or transformer and your power's out. You need to be prepared. What are you going to do if you got a couple of days or a week that you don't have food? Because it could happen. I mean, my little town of Kokomo, Indiana, which I live about 10 miles out of town, population of, I don't know, 60,000, there were 100 cop cars in the local mall the other day because they had threats. It was going to get torched. 100. Well, how hard is it for those people throwing Molotov cocktails to go, ah, let's take down a power pole. Ah, let's take down a transformer. Now, it's going to get fixed, but it might be a couple days. How prepared are you for food? Canned food, power bars, cereal, things that it will keep if you don't have electricity. Think about it. Again, you don't got to go crazy. You don't got to think you're going to have to feed yourself for the next 6 months. All you got to do is turn on the TV and know it could be a couple days. It could be a week. Secondly, water. Nothing will make people freak out quicker, including you, than not having water. Very easy. Go to DG, Dollar General, get a bunch of gallons of water, or just get some containers, use your house water, fill it up. You know, every couple of days, dump it out, put some new in there to keep it fresh if you want. Not for 3 months, but for a couple of days, because it could happen in your town. It could happen in your town 6 months from now. Food, water. Three, a communication plan. How are you going to communicate when the power goes out for a couple of days and your phone doesn't charge, especially if you're older, especially if your kids, family, or friends are far away? How are you going to communicate? Well, maybe you got a plan if someone doesn't hear from you from a couple of days, that the plan is someone's going to drive to see you. You're younger, you live alone, maybe that's the plan you give your parents. You don't hear from me, come see me. If you're older, you got younger kids, hey, you don't hear from me from a couple of days, come and see me. Another thing is, you know, it's really cheap to go to the store and get a burner phone, you know, phone with a number, old school flip phone. You keep that thing charged and you don't use it unless you need to. It'll last days. Heck, it could last weeks if you get the right one. Have that ready. Have that number. You're only going to use it if the power goes out and you're going to use it as a way to communicate. But how are you going to communicate if the power goes out and you can't charge that smartphone, which runs down in, you know, 6 hours if you're using it heavy? Next thing, how can you protect yourself? Now, I'm not talking walking dead. I'm not talking going to war. You know, one thing that is a truth, criminals are lazy. They prey on the easiest targets. You don't need to think in terms of how am I going to go Rambo on somebody. You need to think in terms of how am I going to show somebody that I'm not an easy target, that I see you coming in my yard, I'm going to open the front door and I'm going to have something in my hand. Unless you're willing to practice regularly, I recommend to most people, get something simple. Pump shotgun number one, because it's easy to use and it's harder to miss. If you're going to get a handgun, get a revolver. If you're not going to practice a lot, pull the trigger. Now, with a little bit of practice, is a Glock, a semi-automatic handgun, just as reliable as a revolver? Of course it is. But are you going to practice that much? Not only that, if you're scared, if you're fumbling around with it, are you going to be comfortable using it? Now, all that being said, life isn't like the movies. Nobody serious about defending themselves uses a handgun. You just don't. You don't. Now, you might carry it when you can't carry something else. You know, you're in your car, all these people doing concealed carry. But if you're serious about defending yourself in your home, you ain't going to be on your front porch with a handgun. You're going to be out there with a shotgun or a rifle. Now, you live in the town. You don't want a rifle. You want a shotgun. Learn how to use it. Learn how to use it. Take some time to go out, learn how it works, find out what you do if it jams, be comfortable with it, okay? And remember, you're not going Rambo on somebody. That most people, whose house are they going to attack? The one with the lights off and it looks like there's nobody home, or the one that's got somebody on the front porch and they got a shotgun saying, ah, why don't you move on? That's how it works, okay? Prepare, be ready, keep it simple. The next one, I think this was important, and I think this could happen. Rallying points. It's a big deal in the military. You know, as a Marine, you always talk about rallying points. You know, where are we going to go before the mission starts and where are we all going to meet after kind of thing. There is safety with other people. You're in a big group and you see someone by themselves, that person looks like a target. You're in a big group and you see another big group, you just go walking by them. Have a plan for where you're going to go if things happen in your community. Have a plan. And more than have a plan, have a trigger. So many people, whether it's tornadoes or riots, die because they wait too long to leave and do anything. Have a plan. What's the trigger that you leave? Maybe it's the mall in your town gets shut down, and so for the night, you're going to go stay with some friends and family. So there's 10 of you. There's not two of you. Maybe it's something you see in the news. Maybe it's something that happens. But don't wait for the people on your street or a couple of blocks away to decide, you know what, maybe I need to go with my daughter and her husband because they live out in the country and they got a lot of weapons. Don't wait. Have a plan that everybody knows. So everyone knows where they're going to be. You got safety in numbers and you've got a trigger for when you're going to go. That whether you want to go or not, when you get to that trigger, you go. So food, don't worry about 6 months right now. Just worry about a couple of days. Two, water. Three, communication plan. What are you going to do if the power goes out? How are you going to talk to people? How are you going to find out what's going on? Really good one is wind-up radios. Perfect. Burner phones. Four, protection. Unless you're really experienced, think simple. Also, protecting your home. Don't do it with a handgun. Do it with a shotgun or a rifle. Learn how to use it. Keep it simple. If you're going to have a handgun and you're not going to practice a lot, use a revolver. Pull the trigger, bang. If you're going to practice, any kind of good semi-auto will be good. Rallying points. Know where you're going to go and have a trigger to get there. Don't wait. Don't get caught when the tornado comes. Don't get caught when people come through your neighborhood. And then lastly, spiritual. This is really what we're going to talk about the next 2 days because, you know, I would be remiss, I thought, to talk this week without going over some of the stuff I just did. But that's not likely to happen to you, but you better be ready. What's more likely to be happen is you're going to be spiritually attacked and the people around you are going to be spiritually attacked. And that's what's going to make our country the most vulnerable. And that is what's going to make these riots the most likely to spread to communities. Spiritual. Now, what should you be doing spiritually to prepare? One, make time in your day for prayer, getting in the Word, and fellowshipping with other people. Make time in your day. Make it a habit. Make it a habit. You know, just like I talked about yesterday, we are called to minister to the Samaritan. We are called to love our enemies. As fear grows, that's going to be harder to do, but it's going to be the most important thing to do. It's just like working out. If you don't go to the gym, you get out of shape. Okay? If you don't go to the gym, you get out of shape. If you don't practice using a weapon, you're not going to know how to use it. It's the same thing spiritually. It's a practice. You know, it's more than just that commitment you made at the altar that one day. It is a practice you got to do every day. It's a commitment. It's a workout. Now more than ever, we need to work out our spirituality. Make time for prayer in your day and don't let anything get in the way of it. Make time for getting in the Word. Make time for fellowshipping with other people. Go to that Bible study, whether it's in person or it's virtual. Look at that video online of your Sunday school teacher. You know, something that's really been motivating to me is my relatives in Alabama. You know, my uncle is a retired pastor. He's putting up all these Bible studies people can see. That's a way. My cousin, my aunt, they're big into Bible fellowship. Great organization for women. Lots of organizations like that for men. You know, find a way to have fellowship with people. Don't be alone in your spirituality. And when I mean fellowship, I don't just mean hanging out. That's important. I mean spiritual fellowship, especially as we go back to church and a lot of people are afraid to go. church for most people is just one day a week on Sunday morning. I think we need more than that. We need more time during the week. We got to get together. So spiritually, prepare yourself, work it out. Don't be complacent. Make time every day to pray. Make time every day to get in the Word. Make time every day to somehow fellowship, connect with other people. Because as fear grows, it's going to be harder to do this. And that's going to be our greatest challenge. It's going to be the spiritual one. In the book of Matthew, Jesus said, "But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Outside of our control, a virus is spread across the world. Outside of our control, governments didn't let us leave our homes and go to work. Who cares about the consequences? Outside of our control, people are burning up our neighborhoods. Or worse, so easy to have a lot of enemies, so easy to get anger. It will destroy you. It will turn you into what you hate. One could argue it's a blessing. It's a blessing to live in this time if you're a Christian, because we can see how deep really is our faith. That is a hard command of Jesus. Love your enemies. Because ultimately that might be the test of how deep our faith is. It's a hard verse, but it points to a profound reality of our faith. We are called to be vessels of the Holy Spirit. We are called to be vessels of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're called to do. We are called to use our adversity to grow closer to the example Jesus set for us. It makes it easier. When life is good, it's easy to just look at ourselves and to become selfish, to be a cafeteria Christian, to be somebody who just wants to go to church and be entertained. And if the choir is really good, you go, yeah, oh, yay, happy. But when things are bad, that's when you see what you're made of. That's how, when you see how deep your faith is. That is the opportunity to live the meaning of love your enemies. It's a blessing to be living at this time. It's a blessing. The world is on fire. Prepare yourself and pray, my friends, and learn the meaning of the power that you have when you allow yourself to let adversity fill you with the Holy Spirit as we were meant to. And we forget so often, and we allow ourselves to be filled with other things. Do it. It's an opportunity. It's a blessing. So until next time, my friends, I want you to aim high, spread your wings, and keep your eyes on the things that matter. Peace. You've been listening to the Pilgrim's Odyssey. Make sure you comment, share, and like this podcast so all of us together can let our light shine. For books, videos, and more content from me, your host, please visit Silouan.com. That is Silouan, Silouan.com. Until your next visit on the Pilgrim's Odyssey, I'm your guide on life's wild ride, Silouan Green. Tell me I'm just a little someone. Look outside.